And if not, let's put our hands together for Andy, because Andy's a wonderful man.
Well, good morning. For those of you who have seen me teach before on these things, I always start with exactly the same questions. Well, the first question I'm actually going to start is, who remembers what book of the Bible we're in? How many vote for 1 Corinthians? How many vote for 2 Corinthians? How many vote for 3 Colosseums? If you're voting for 3 Colosseums, you're definitely wrong. Okay. Then the question is, what chapter in 2 Corinthians are we in? I see 4. I see 5. Yeah, we're in chapter 4, by the way. We're at about verse 16 in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And now for the most painful question. Who remembers, how many of you were here last week? How many of you are not sure that you were here last week? Yeah. Raise your hand if you're sitting in an empty seat. Of those of you who were here last week or think you might have been here last week, who remembers anything of what was said last week? Bill Dwyer, by the way, was teaching for the past 2 weeks. Aaron? Yeah, we've invited Christ into our heart. We have the indwelling presence of God within us. And now he is really seeking to live out his life through us. As we yield to him, as we die to our old way of doing things, Christ starts revealing himself, making himself known. The invisible Christ makes himself known through folks like us, regular, ordinary people. That is what the Christian life is all about. It's not just accepting Jesus as your Savior. Bruce was talking about this on Friday night. It's having him be the Lord of your life. The Lord means he's the one calling the shots all the time. And in order for that to happen, I need to die to myself, my will. It's no longer my will be done, it's thy will be done. And Lord, help me on a moment-by-moment basis to die to my way of doing things, and by the power of your Spirit and the indwelling presence of Christ, you make yourself known through a stoned-out former hippie like me. Right? Now, this is, in some ways, the opposite, I think I brought this in, of Frank Sinatra. How many of you know Frank Sinatra, by the way? How many of you know of him? Now, you know, I was reading this this I Did It My Way song. I mean, I did it my way. Well, okay, I've got one note and I've got a hard time finding that one. Now, this is Frank Sinatra, or at least the song that was written by Paul Anka. Said, this is the first opening thing. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. I face the final curtain. You stand before God, and you stand up there and go, I did it my way. I mean, think about that. It's a pretty song. The melody is absolutely beautiful. But you hear the lyrics, and you go, what a tragedy. To be able to stand before God and just kind of go, I did it my way. That is not Christianity. Christianity is, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, somebody, I can't remember if it was Conrad or somebody in one of the songs, do you think it is easy to live, have the life of Christ being lived out through you? Do you think Christianity is easy? It's a narrow road. It's a narrow road, and hard is the way that leads to life. That's part of that scripture. Now, somebody has a Bible here, and if you've got the NIV, because I wanted to hear it out of the NIV, we're in chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. However, could somebody read me verse 1 in chapter 4? verse 1 and chapter 4. I need it out of the NIV because it connects with the passage. Aaron, why don't you read it loud, because some of us have hearing problems.
Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart.
What were those last words? We do not lose heart. And that's really the subject that we're going to be talking about here today. As you're going out to live the Christian life and you find there are heartbreaks, there are disappointments, you lose your job, you're struggling with your addiction, your dog just died, okay? There can be a tendency to lose heart. The Greek is actually, it means to faint along the way, to quit, to give up this walk of faith. Now, well, let me kind of back it up a little bit. I've seen known a number of you for some years, and it has been my observation that some of you are growing older. Right? Your hair is getting grayer, you got some more wrinkles, you're pulling out your reading glasses, and you're asking me to talk louder. And this is very distressing for me to see you growing older. It, however, is even more distressing to me when I face the mirror in the morning and see the guy who's looking back at me. And as Ray Steadman said, how can such a handsome guy be stuck in such a strange-looking body? That one of the challenges of the Christian life, we're going to look at this a little bit today, is the recognition that this body that I am in is starting to, how shall I put it, go downhill. I've reached the point where I am now getting older and weaker instead of older and stronger. How many of you, by the way, are still in that chapter of life where you feel like you're getting older and stronger? You know, when you're a kid, you want to get older because you're... Well, I'm just talking physically. We're just talking physically at this point. That's all we're talking is physically. How many of you now feel... Ron feels he's getting older and stronger physically. Okay, well, I just mean physically. I can't run as fast as I used to. I can't jump as high as I used to. Like, my golf game is a mess, okay? Yeah. Let me read this passage to you. I'm going to read it to you a couple times, picking up at verse 16, but remember what Aaron said, those last words in verse 1. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And watch what he says here in verse 16, because he's picking up on the same theme. Repeats it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We're going to be talking in these verses. These are some of the heaviest verses in the New Testament, by the way. How do you not lose heart as a Christian? You're walking through. We're looking today at the secret of how do you not lose heart, not give up, not quit when the going gets rough, because it's going to get rough. Life is going to show up, right? It's going to show up. And I meet many people that give their life to Christ and they go, now all my troubles are just going to evaporate. I'm going to love everybody and it's going to be one mountaintop experience to the next. Beep, wrong. Okay? Jesus went through a lot of stuff. Apostle Paul, we may look at that in a while, went through a lot of stuff. Beatings, flogging, shipwrecks, imprisonments. If you think that following Jesus is going to mean anything different for you, you're mistaken. And the question is, what is the secret? What is the key to being able to not lose heart as you're going through this difficult stuff? Yeah, give me your name again.
Loving people regardless, despite.
Loving people regardless, in spite.
Loving people when your brother has loved himself.
Yeah, Marcus?
It's when we're broken that we know that we can receive broken were most useful to the world.
Yeah, and again, one of the things I love about recovery ministry is that people have been broken. You've sung the I Did It My Way song. Well, how'd that turn out for you? You did it your way, and it turned into a disaster. But that can be a beautiful opportunity for realizing, Lord, I need to be depending on you because I can't do it. A lot of people I talk to out in the Silicon Valley, they're still under the illusion they can do it, that I Did It My Way is going to work for them. And because of that, it's very difficult for them to follow Christ because they still think they can pull their life off in their own strength, in their own power. Yeah, there was a hand up over here. Yeah, you've got a track record with me, life, Lord. Well, let me just, because a bunch of hands, let me kind of do break this down a little bit verse by verse and we'll kind of hop into it. Okay. It says, again, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Yes, this is my high school graduation picture. Lovely Grossmont High School, east of San Diego.
Which one?
First grade or second?
I'm feeling the love here today. I'm feeling the love. The guy on your left, that is real hair, by the way. That is not a wig. That is, and it got worse after 1968. So this was this young guy. And then, yes, this is our hero over here. Notice the absence of hair. Notice the completely white beard. Notice the wrinkles and so forth. There are wrinkles, yeah. If we're just looking at the guy on the outside.
Okay.
And we'll get to that. But if I'm just talking about, let's examine the features of this bald guy with the white beard versus the young high school graduate. It's going downhill. Okay? And I got news for you, it ain't going to be getting any better. Okay? Yeah, Ron?
Look at the character in the man's face.
Well, and that's, we're going to be getting to that part in a minute.
You exchange beauty for character.
Yeah. But you imagine the Apostle Paul. He's been through beatings, flogging, shipwrecks, imprisonment. There's the pressure every day on him of the church. I can tell you, it starts to take a toll on you physically. You get beaten, flogged a number of times. The outer man starts. You notice, you know what? Let me get out of denial here. I'm not as young as I used to be. St. Francis called his body poor brother donkey. He said, poor brother donkey. Come on, take me another mile, man. Come on, poor brother donkey. The question, though, for us about how do you get through the sufferings of life, do you primarily look at yourself as your body? Or do you primarily look at yourself as who you are inwardly, who you are in Christ? If you primarily look at your identity, who you are, as the person looking back at you in the mirror, getting older is going to be pretty, pretty unpleasant for you. Somebody said you either get bitter or better. And if you think of the person you are as primarily your physical body, old age is probably going to be a very bitter experience for you. Growing older as you realize your physical capabilities are diminishing. And I meet many older people who become bitter primarily because they look at themselves as who they are physically. Okay. You can't get away from it. Somebody said it doesn't matter how much you exercise, how much you diet. Guess what? The death rate is still 100%. Right? You're only going to end up being the healthiest corpse that ever died. Right? Now, I'm not putting down, yes, do the diet, the exercise. God's given us this body to take care of. But if you think this body is going to last forever, you are wrong. Okay? So Paul says, look, as I'm going through this life with all its hardships and all its trials, my first perspective is that this body is not ultimately the person I most deeply and truly am. The person I most deeply and truly am is the person on the inside, the one who is united with Christ. This body is headed for the grave, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. This body is heading to the grave, but the person I am is going to be eternally young, heading to heaven. Right? The person you are united with Christ, never going to grow old. In heaven, there is no more death or crying or mourning or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So Paul says, part of the secret to going through life and its troubles is getting an eternal perspective. Stop thinking of yourself primarily as just your body. The person you most deeply and truly are is the one on the inside. And in fact, somebody, Roy Bradford, who died last year, always used to tell me that getting older, he became more and more aware of who he was spiritually. And he even thought that old age was God's way of preparing us for heaven, because at a certain point, we're ready to leave. Leave this body behind that I might step out of this present world into the presence of God. Okay. This is the way Paul looked at his sufferings with this eternal perspective of who he is most truly is the one he is on the inside, not the outside. He says, this is the way I look at my troubles. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. These words here, weight and outweigh, it pictures an old-fashioned balance scale. He says, if I put my sufferings and troubles on one side of the balance scale, and I put what God is accomplishing, the glorious work, he says the glorious work that God is doing far outweighs the troubles. And that Greek word is kind of like superabundantly outweighs. It's like the troubles that he's going through are kind of like a hummingbird feather, and the glory is kind of like a ton of gold. It's not that they're just about equal, oh, the troubles and the glory. He says, the troubles that I'm going through are lightweight and momentary. Right? If you live to be 60, 80, 100, Paul says, in the light of eternity, that is an eye blink. The 100 years, 120 years, the snap of a fingers. Paul says, in the light of eternity, I look at my troubles in this world as being very lightweight and very brief. Let me throw that out to you. Do you look at your troubles that way? Lightweight and brief. Rick does. No, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Christ matures us through our troubles. In the book of James, right at the beginning, we covered that before, that we learn perseverance to trust in the Lord in the midst of our troubles rather than
Yeah, we're get the troubles are about something. It's not the fickle finger of fate. It's not some random thing that happened to you. There's intentionality, purpose behind our sufferings. But this is the question. When you're going through stuff, pain has a way of causing you to focus on it. And it can cause you to lose track of the big perspective. You're hurting so much, your whole life just collapses into the pain you're currently suffering, and that just seems like all there is. And Paul's saying, it's not. Let me read you just a quick passage of what he went through. This is out of actually 2 Corinthians 11. This is what Paul went through. When he says here, light and momentary troubles, this is what he means, light and momentary. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Light and momentary troubles. Does that sound light and momentary to you? And I know some of you have been through very extreme things, but in another sense, I think what you and I go through, and again, I'll speak for myself, not for you, what I go through a lot of time, we call Cadillac problems. Right? I feel like the princess and the pea. Have you read that story, that fairy tale? The princess has like 100 mattresses. And under the bottom one, there's like a pea. And she lies down on the top of the 100th mattress, and she's just irritated because she feels that pea all the way. For me, I lead such a cushioned life compared to the Apostle Paul that for me to be complaining about my life, I think is ultimately sin. Okay? But the question is, do you have that eternal perspective? Your troubles are light and momentary. Or do you think my troubles are heavy and they're never going to end? No, I mean, honestly, when you're going through a hard time, do you have, this is the secret for getting through this stuff, is your perspective on them. If I think I'm an eternal being and the stuff that I'm going through with this body is just light and momentary, you're going to find that you will not lose heart. You've got to change your perspective, otherwise you are going to start losing heart in the face of all the troubles that you're going to face. Yeah, Aaron?
Yeah, I know in the last week or so, Anna and I have had some situations come up in our lives that were hard, and they were really hard until maybe the next day or a couple hours into it, we realized that it doesn't matter. The outcome is going to be exactly what it's supposed to be. And it's kind of like what you're talking about, but I'm not very good at doing that with my God. You know, I like to do it my way, and it's hard to defeat that attitude. But I will also testify that when I do choose to turn towards Christ in the issue and hand it over to Him, it becomes immediately light and easy to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when Jesus talks in Matthew, he says, you know, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. I never used to understand that when I first became a Christian. It seemed so heavy. But if, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can get an eternal perspective on what you're going through, it lifts a lot of that weight from you. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy, but you now see the problems in a different way, and that helps to lift some of the burden off your shoulders. Yeah.
Not only that, but when you hold your Bible in your hand, you hold the lives of many who gave their life.
Amen.
So that we can have this book.
Yeah.
So not only that, but you know, when God, we look at time as a time continuum because of our flesh. But when we understand God's way, like Isaiah 55 say, when He sends His word out to do something, ain't nothing stop it. So therefore, well, we know that we are children of God, you know, even though we're in the world and we're in the law. However, we still have to remember that we are His children. He's not going to let nothing happen.
Yeah, He's never going to abandon us or forsake us. Yeah. Now, kind of picking up on what Rick was saying here, not only do we start to see our troubles as light and momentary, but we start to also see that they are, it says, they are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. They're accomplishing something that is worth accomplishing. Okay? when we were going through James. Let's see if I've got that verse. Oh, somebody look at James 1:2, so if somebody could turn there real quick. Let's see. That is exactly right. Let me give it to you out of the NIV. Consider it pure joy, right? Consider it what? Pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, multicolored trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Count it all joy when you face trials, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The suffering is achieving something of...
What happens if you don't want perseverance?
Well, in that case, you're probably not going to be...
I'm going to be very joyful.
Yeah. Well, again, if you want a break from troubles, this world is a fallen world, and I wish that you're going to get a break from troubles. You may give God give you an oasis every once in a while, but basically this is a fallen world, and it is going to be a lot. No, but I'm I don't want to trivialize people's problems, believe me. I'm just trying to figure out how to help people to get through the problems that they're going to face, and each of us is going to face. But that sense that something is being accomplished, the testing of your faith, James says, is creating something worthwhile. If you have that sense as you're going through a hard time, something is being accomplished that is of eternal value. Something that is so wonderful that I cannot fully comprehend it right now. Hey, Marcus?
What it is when we don't lose heart, we persevere as God's children. The other people that see that hope and that light in us is actually what you're talking about, man. It's when we're persevering that they can see hope. They want to know how we persevere and go through these trials.
Absolutely. Yeah. When people come, they want to know, does it make any difference that you're a Christian in terms of your actual ability to go through life? When the doctor says you've got cancer, does it make any difference that you know Jesus? They are watching you, and people will watch you like a hawk once they hear that you're a Christian. And when you end up in a trial, they're going to watch how you go through it. And if you go through it differently, they're going to start becoming interested in Jesus. I want what you have. I want to be able to go through the difficulties of life like you do. Yeah, go ahead.
They say in Mark 4:7, it says, the disciples asked Jesus, why did he talk to the people in parables, right? Mm-hmm. So he told them, he said, to you, when I read the Bible, I put my name in the place of those I read about so that I know it's my life, because it is. But I also know who I'm reading about, so that it makes it more effective for me. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the secrets or the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come from parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. Mm-hmm. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And know then. Then how then will ye know all of parables? Yeah.
Just taught this, that very verse at the YAF group on Thursday night. The idea is some of these things, many, most of them, we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. But picture heaven, somebody said, I think it was Francis Schaeffer, picture it as an art gallery. And each of our lives is going to be like a glorious work of art. When we see how people kept the faith, that's the opposite of not losing heart, by the way. You want to keep the faith, not lose heart. And when you get to heaven, and God will put on display, look how Marcus went through all of these difficulties and kept the faith. That will be to God's eternal glory, that you kept the faith going through things that were very bewildering and very painful. And in the light of eternity, it will be something of incredible glory that we will finally get a chance to see. God's doing something in my life right now I don't comprehend, but he says, oh, we're running out of time. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says, as I'm going through here, I've got this eternal perspective. I'm fixing my eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. How can you see what's unseen? What's he talking about? I fix my eyes on what I can't see. What? I will tell you, you know, some people, this defining faith, you know, there's a lot of attempts to define faith, but one definition is spiritual eyesight. The way I see what is unseen is through faith. Christians see different things than people in the world, and we orient our lives on those unseen realities. They're my guiding stars. That's the way I navigate through faith. I see things that people in the world don't see by faith, and I make decisions based on those unseen realities. He will. It says about Moses in Hebrews, he persevered as seeing him who is invisible. He persevered because he was able to see him who is invisible. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul says, as you're going through the difficulties, the struggles, the pains, the hardships of life, fix your eyes, the eyes of faith, on what you cannot see. Be trusting in that, and that will allow you not to lose heart as you're going through the difficulties of this world.
Paul, also I heard somebody say it from the Bible, that Paul, is he the one that walked on water? And then, because whoever walked on water took his
Peter.
Eyes off.
Peter,
he
yeah.
His eyes on the Lord.
Absolutely.
And he wouldn't have sunk.
No, you remember, remember Jesus was walking on the water. Peter said, let me get out and walk on the water.
Oh, yeah.
Peter takes a few steps, and he gets distracted by the wind and the waves, and then glug, glug, glug. So, yeah, he got his eyes off of Jesus, onto the distraction. Somebody asked, I think it was Ray Stedman, how far did he sink when Peter sank beneath the waves? And I think Ray Stedman said they were just bubbles, right?
Oh, my God.
But Jesus reached down and pulled him up. And for many of us, you get your eyes off of Jesus and glug, 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 you start sinking below the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. We do not yet see Jesus. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. We see in a glass darkly. Later, face to face. Later, we will see Jesus face to face. But now, by the eyes of faith, we fix our eyes on him, and that will sustain you through the difficulties of this life.
Thank you for that.
And one more thing, Jesus was the only person I know that could sleep in a storm on the boat while everybody else was there.
Yeah. If you've got that peace, then you can go through some things that are. Now, again, I don't want to make it sound like I know a lot of you are going through really, really hard times. And hopefully this message is an encouragement. The question was, how can you go through the difficulties of life without losing heart? And a lot of that is keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's not about this physical body that's wasting away. It's a sense that my troubles are lightweight compared to the eternal work that God is doing. And my prayer for each of you is that you will be able to keep your eyes on Christ this week, because life is going to show up. And it may be that for some of you, life is going to show up in a big way this week. And I don't want you to lose heart. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. I want you to persevere, trusting that God is at work in whatever he's doing. Now let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, I do thank you for this beautiful passage out of your word. And I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't just be a bunch of words. It wouldn't just be theology. It just wouldn't be head knowledge, Lord. But it would be something that actually enters into our hearts, and that we actually experience life differently because of your spirit working through your word in our lives today. We long to live differently, Lord. We long to have love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. And we ask that you'd make that real for us. that we actually would be different because of encountering you in your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andy.